Welcome to Into the Panels, everyone.
Into the Panels, where we discuss comics at a table that you're welcome to talk with us.
Oh, God. So this week we're actually doing the six-issue Bizarro run from 2015. It was pretty great. You want to talk about the writer and artist, Cody?
Yeah, the writer was Heath Corson. He's not done a lot of comic books directly, but he's wrote most of the scripts for a lot of DC's animated movies. I couldn't find a whole lot on him with multiple Google searches. So, artist is Gustavo Duarte. He's a Brazilian cartoonist, and he's made a lot of indie comics for Dark Horse, things like Code, Taxi, Monstrous Bird, stuff like that. He's won a lot of awards just for his art style. It's very unique, very cartoony. And the only thing he's done for the major publishers, he's done this for DC, and then for Marvel, he wrote an issue of Guardians of the Galaxy. And the guy who did colors is Peter Pantazis. And he's started working for Spawn in 1997, and then he's done a hodgepodge of DC and Marvel. X-Men, he's done a lot of the newer Spider-Man stuff. He does a lot of cover art, too. And he did Final Crisis for DC. He worked on the art for Final Crisis.
Nice.
Yep. And he's also done a lot of Wonder Woman. But anyway, so this is the tale of Bizarro and Jimmy Olsen. And if you don't know who Bizarro is...
He's basically... Did Brainiac create Bizarro?
Okay, so there's different variations. The very first appearance of Bizarro, he was supposed to be, like, the negative emotions of Superman. And it was supposed to be, like, this is Superman's dark evil side. Like, he was originally kind of an edgelord character. Only recently did he turn, like, a friendly kind of goofball idiot. The common one is he's a failed clone from Lex Luthor he has Superman strength and speed, but he's an absolute moron. He talks backwards, so like if he says something's bad, it means it's good. If he says something, if he hates something, it means he loves it, vice versa. And he has reverse Superman powers, so he has fire breath and cold vision eyes.
Mm-hmm. And apparently he has mind control?
Yes.
Which, is that a reverse of something Superman does?
It's probably just a reference, like...
Is it, like, reverse x-ray vision?
Maybe, no, he has x-ray vision in this.
Okay.
They talk about it.
Okay.
He has x-ray vision on lead, and that's it.
Oh, nice. Of course. So, yeah, I really like how they did this comic, because in the writing, they basically... Every single thing he says is opposite, except for a few minor things, but...
It's consistent.
It's definitely consistent. They do a good job, but... He's pretty much just like Superman, except he's bigger. He has, like, gray, chalky, cracked skin. And... his Superman Luger's reversed, and instead of, the regular tights, like, Superman has the, like, the underwear almost, the red underwear, he has, like, shorts in it, I think, which isn't on the cover, but... Superman, he runs into Superman later on, and he says, oh, nice shorts.
Well, what's cool with Bizarro is he originally was supposed to be, like, an edgelord, like, I am anti-Superman, I am the opposite of Superman, I am all of Superman's negative emotion, but in the last, I'd say, about 15 years, they've really started rewriting him and making him more, like, where he's the failed clone. He wants to be more like Superman, but he's not smart enough to know how to, so he kind of does it in his own special way.
And another thing I like, it's just the concept of this, is that literally the plot is Superman goes to Jimmy Olsen, which is a former, like a fellow reporter from the Daily Planet.
And, yeah, and Jimmy Olsen is Superman's best friend.
And he says, hey, Jimmy, I need you to... Does Jimmy know Superman's Clark?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, I think it's Superman that comes to Jimmy, though, right?
In this, I think it's Clark. Because it opens up with them just in the car ride. Jimmy's, like, all pissy because Bizarro's being, like, an asshole. But, When they flash back to it, I'm pretty sure... Let's just skip ahead just a sec. I'm pretty sure it's Clark.
Okay. So yeah, the whole premise of this is my favorite because like Cody told me we were reading this and kind of gave me like a brief summary, but the whole thing is the fact that Clark Kent asked Jimmy Olsen to take Bizarro to Canada and convince him that Canada is Bizarro America, so he can be Canada's Superman.
Yeah, and
it's a road trip there in a car, his like beat up car.
And how Clark convinced Jimmy is like, well, you'd be doing Superman a huge favor because Bizarro wouldn't threaten Metropolis, and on the other bright side, you could write a book about the whole experience and make a lot of money. And Jimmy's like, fuck yeah.
And I really like the variant cover in this. What I'm reading it on, it has the variant cover too, and it's a movie theater of people just bawling their eyes out at this movie, including Jimmy that's sitting next to Bizarro, and Bizarro's just laughing.
Yeah.
I really like his character too, because like he really does want to do good and he wants to like be a hero, but he's just goofy. The opposite of Superman, so he's goofy and he always messes stuff up. The more he helps, the more he messes up.
And he kind of talks like a toddler. Like his very first line is, "Me, I'm not king of the world," while sticking his head out the window,
saying he is king of the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I really like this first couple panels because they're just doing road trip things. He's flipping through the radio stations, and the speech bubbles are awesome because it says, "I'm so fancy, came in like a wrecking, shut up and dance."
Just going through the songs and, like, Bizarro can't pick any.
And those are all, like, the hottest hits in 2015 when this came out.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. Dates it a little.
Yeah.
And what's also neat is you get, like, because Jimmy and him have a back and forth that's just really hilarious. Because Jimmy uses, like, a lot of sarcasm and passive aggression, and Bizarro just doesn't get it at all and takes it all at face value. Then Jimmy gets pissed because he doesn't get it.
I like this. He says, "Don't get anything on the seats," and he says, "Me will," which means, like, I won't, trust me. But he's about to eat this huge burger, and the second he chomps into it, just ketchup and mustard splatter all over the color. Just because he's so strong, he doesn't...
Them playing I Spy, and Bizarro only sees the road, and he's like, "Jimmy, what did he say?"
Not spy, with his little eye, something black.
And Jimmy's like, "Better not be the road again." And he's like, "It's not the road. You lose again. One more." Like, the backward... Like, it opens up with you knowing that this Bizarro is 110% backward speak. It's goofy.
I really like that. It has, like, it has, like, square narration bubbles and, like...
From Jimmy.
Yeah, they'll have them throughout the run, and it's, like, it has little icons next to it telling you, like, who's doing it. So, like, it has a bow tie next to Jimmy's because he always wears bow ties. So, they keep going down the road. We got a couple more. Baby, You're a Firework. Spanish. But I kind of wanted to ask Cody about this. It says, "Zorro, please no come home." Is that, like, someone wanting him to...
Maybe, because there's no music and symbols by it, too. Maybe that's people in Metropolis.
Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
But they're still having the back and forth and going down the road. And meanwhile, you see this mysterious vehicle that's following them from behind.
They're going through the desert. And out of nowhere, this introduces another character in this that's really cool. Bizarro says, "Down, Colin. Good chupacabra." And Jimmy's like, "Chupa what now?"
What the fuck?
So, like, they go off the road and...
Now we get the flashback.
Yeah, we get a flashback to...
Clark and Jimmy talking.
Yeah, Clark's like, "Yeah, you need to take Bizarro to Canada," basically, and... It shows a cut to Jimmy fantasizing about this book he wants to write about Bizarro. And he's on a beach, like, rich with this, like, woman and living it up.
And so some quick details, too, is Clark is holding a Batman mug and Jimmy's holding a Superman mug because Jimmy's Superman's biggest fan. And the other thing is something happens that causes Clark to accidentally spill the hot coffee on himself and Jimmy. And Jimmy screams in pain and Clark just stands there like it's nothing.
And then he makes a point of saying, "Oof, I mean, so hot."
Yeah.
And I actually get to see later Bizarro's drinking coffee, and it's just like fresh off the pot, and he's just chugging it. And Jimmy's like, well, how can people do this? And Bizarro's like, well, super durability helps. But yeah, we see the origin of Colin.
And we get the introduction of Bizarro's catchphrase in this. He has two. One is Boo-ray. Instead of Hoo-ray, it's Boo-ray, which I think is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, which is Worstest Friend Jimmy. So instead of Best Friend Jimmy, it's his Worstest Friend. And I think that's very sweet.
Yeah. So apparently, Bizarro was...
Lost in the desert
on Friend Tender, and it shows him looking at it saying no match. So he's like, oh, well, no one wants to be my friend, blah, blah, blah. And out of nowhere, you just see this chupacabra quotation.
Small brown thing with, like, black beady eyes. It's tiny. It's really tiny. Like, it's the size of...
like a fist.
Yeah. And it kind of looks...
it's eating a goat's brains.
Yeah, it has, like, these small, sharp teeth, but, like, the way its legs look and everything, you think it looks like a cricket almost.
Yeah. But, yeah, we see Bizarro, like, grab it, and he names it Colin, his chupacabra, and the Colin's just like, okay, whatever, I'll come with you. So, yeah, Jimmy's like, why the hell are you bringing that? And Bizarro's like, well, he's my friend. And they look over, and when they went off the road, the car had driven into a tree.
And got just completely totaled.
So, yeah, we jump into our first storyline. But before that, Jimmy's sitting in the car figuring out what to do. And the car that's behind him following him is, like, honking their horn because they're following them. They're like, oh, this isn't a meh. It actually, I'm pretty sure they bring up Bizarro.
As an Omega-level alien, which I don't think DC uses the Omega thing. That's more a Marvel thing for mutants. I think that was more a poke at that.
Yeah, but if there was an Omega-level, that'd definitely be him. But yeah, we see him yelling at the car beeping behind him, go around. And obviously they won't because they're following him. But yeah, I really like the little details with everything in reverse in these comics, because we open up to the kind of intro to the first issue, and it says America Part 6, Part 1, but it's going backwards, because it's reverse.
So Bizarro.
Yeah, we see Bizarro carrying Jimmy in his broken down car over his head.
With Colin hanging on to, like, his suit.
Bicep, yeah. Yeah. And it says, welcome to Smallville. So, of course, they have to stop at Smallville.
They go to a lot of really neat locations in this.
They do. And there's tons of references in this run that...
but they're in a Smallville diner, just trying to get a bite to eat and figure out a plan to replace the car when an ad comes on the TV for King Tut's used car lot.
Car Oasis.
And it's this, like, cheesy car salesman dressed up as a pharaoh, and he's just making an assload of Egyptian puns and trying to get...
tons. Get out of denial and into this vintage hot rod. And Jimmy says, oh, that's my dream car.
Yeah, they have, like, a really nice car. He has a pyramid of cars, and his daughter's in the advertisement with him, and his daughter's like, I'm not fucking putting on the suit.
And he's like, where's your suit? I'm not putting it on. And that shows him, like, getting into this sarcophagus. Come down to King Tut's slightly used car oasis and asp me about financing. Aren't asps, like, Egyptian insects or some sort?
Yeah, well, that, and he has the pun about the Sphinx up there.
Yeah. But yeah, I really want to know how this guy got these cars sideways on this pyramid.
Hard work, dedication.
Cables connecting them, I guess. I don't know.
Positive attitude.
Oh, so they think, oh, well, let's go to this car dealership and get in to fix up my car.
And you see all the employees for this dealer are dressed as slaves.
Yeah, because they got the whole shirtless thing, but the big collar. And, yeah, they're dressed as slaves. He's basically, when they get there, he's, like, ordering them around, and, finally, he sees Bizarro carrying the car on his shoulders with Jimmy in it. And he says, you break cars? Like, you fix cars, he's asking him. He says, never mind my friend, Mr. Tut. He's Bizarro. Me am Bizarro. So they all, like, swarm on him, like, oh,
buy this, do this, how about this? Yeah. He's trying to negotiate. And what's really cool is, too, is that the salesman is the first person you see it with, but everyone will take maybe one or two panels to figure out how Bizarro talks, and then they'll understand how it works. It's, they're doing, like, Jimmy and this guy are doing a lot of back and forth negotiation, and you see these biceps coming out of their mouths as kind of, like, to show that it's a hard negotiation.
And then it shoots to, like, a fantasy of them, like, wrestling in a ring, kind of them talking and, like, haggling.
And Bizarro's getting impatient of this shit, so he's just, like, fucking give him the car.
Yeah, he smacks his foot on the ground, and it, like, causes a huge earthquake. And he says, that am first straw. Like, the last straw. So he's, like, grabs him by his collar, and he's like, you're not gonna sell him a new car, you're gonna fix his car now. And he's like, okay, well, put it in the garage, boys, let's go, and repair will be done tomorrow. So, Jimmy runs into his daughter, this, like, cute blonde that's, like, kind of flirting with him. And,
it's sweet.
Yeah, she, like, spills coffee on him, and then, her dad's like, why would you spill coffee on him?
That's a customer.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, well.
And he's like, why aren't you wearing the Cleopatra thing? And she's like, Dad,
I want to make candy.
But then, what's happening now? Was it Bizarro?
I think they're just walking back to Smallville to, like, get a room for the night.
Oh, yeah, and Jimmy's taking a bunch of pictures of Bizarro.
And Bizarro's like, why are you taking pictures of me?
Or no, he's asking if they're worst as friends or not.
Yeah.
Because he thinks Jimmy doesn't like him as much as he likes Jimmy. Sorry, yeah. Hates Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, we see Colin hissing at him, too, because I think Colin thinks something's up or something.
Colin's pretty intelligent for a chupacabra. Extremely.
But, yeah, we see the crazy thing here. King Tut, the car salesman's got his, what are those things even called? I don't know. His, like,
rod and cane. Yeah. Like, what the pharaohs hold
when you're... Rod and staff, yeah.
Yeah.
His various Egyptian paraphernalia. And he's, like, praying to these Egyptian gods.
And his hands are getting glowy and his eyes are getting glowy.
And he says it's working, and then he's surrounded by, like,
Anubis and Ra.
Osiris, Horus, and Anubis, yeah.
Yeah.
So these floating Egyptian godheads basically give him this cane, this staff that gives him power. And they're basically like, yeah, spread our glory throughout the world. You're our only worshiper, basically. And then it cuts to these three aliens in space that have taken off these helmets, and it's revealed... Oh, it was aliens, it wasn't gods.
Yeah, because the actual Egyptian gods are busy hanging with Dr. Fate.
Yeah. So, yeah, it shows Jimmy and Bizarro going to the Sleepin' Dash. It's a motel. And he's like, oh, are you guys with the fertilizer convention in town? And, of course, there has to be a fertilizer convention in town because it's small, though. Yeah. So he's like, well, I only have one room, and it's a one bed.
But real quick, so there's a quick panel where they make up, and, like, Jimmy's like, listen, Bizarro, we are friends, and Bizarro's like, what do you mean? What about Superman? I thought he was your worstest friend, and Jimmy's like, I was never on a road trip with Superman, and it's just a sweet moment.
Bizarro always doubted it. So, yeah, it shows them broing out. They go to this vending machine, and Jimmy's rooting through his pocket for change. And Bizarro just smashes the whole thing, like, over, and all the snacks just pour out.
But, then, so it shows the car dealer, he hypnotizes his daughter to get her to put on the Cleopatra suit, and it's him in front of, the...
So, yeah, we see, is this actually in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Bizarro dreaming, and it's, like, where he wants to be the hero for everyone. What's cool is, though, is that art... That, like, it shows the stream of rainbows and it has him smiley and happy and more cartoony at the top. But the bottom's more, like, dark and creepy and realistic. And what that is referencing is kind of, like, older Bizarro comics because that was, like, a 90s design for him.
Mm-hmm. So, So yeah, it shows them both sleeping in bed and they're like spooning. And out of nowhere, Jimmy opens his eyes and he just says, "Bye, car." And he walks out the door and Bizarre's like, "Where are you, Jimmy?" And it shows this like line of 100 people, probably all the people in all of Smallville.
Yep.
They're all walking single file to the car dealership because the car dealer's brainwashing them to get terrible deals on cars.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not this panel, but like they're agreeing to buy every fucking extra charge that the guy offers. And I like how the first supervillain for this Bizarro comic is a fucking used car salesman, and he's not trying to take over this the world.
Chubby, super short.
He's just trying to sell used cars at a slightly higher than normal price.
Yeah, like, it's just, this whole book is just wacky. But, yeah, I really like all the villains in this, honestly. All the issues, we go into something different, and I like all the...
And that issue ends on a cliffhanger of, like, oh no...
Yeah, Bizarro shows salesman. Up and he's like, "Oh no, a powered up used car salesman. I gotta save the day."
Truly, his greatest foe yet. So the flashbacks are really cool. So because each issue opens up with a recap, but it's done in like a kindergarten drawn style, and it's Bizarro retelling the events of the previous issue.
I really like it because Bizarro is holding Jimmy upside down, and there's a speech bubble coming out of Jimmy, and all it is just. Like, a poorly drawn maple leaf of Canada plus a poorly drawn Bizarro insignia and then equals in a poorly drawn rainbow. So, yeah, it pretty much sums up the whole first issue.
That's the whole comic right there.
Oh, and I just realized it's written on a Big Belly burger menu.
That's where they ate at, yep.
So.
Bizarro's the best at drawing.
So, yeah, we cut back to King Tut and, they're pretty much about to square off Bizarro
versus King Tut, the used card salesman. A battle truly for the centuries.
Oh, yeah.
And King Tut opens up just throwing some cars at Bizarro. And
Bizarro says, "Awesome." So, yeah, he just smashes him out of the air. And he uses
heat breath.
To, like, just blow one up pretty much. So he starts shooting beams into the sky at him and... I really like, because Superman usually just flies in a straight line, but Bizarro
flies backwards.
Yeah, he flies backwards, and he flies, like, curves and everything, so it just shows him. He has no
control.
Yeah. So finally, one of the beams hit him, and he goes down into a car.
And so he's like, "Oh, Colin, are you okay? I forgot I had that Chupacabra on me." And what's funny is Colin's going to start the used car salesman's going to send his zombies of people after Bizarro to hold him down.
I really like this. I noticed it the first time. When he's flying through the air after getting hit by the beam, it shows him, like, realizing he has Colin in his hand, and then he, like, flips through the air and, like, curls his arms around him into his chest to protect him.
Yeah, it's Colin. It's Colin the Chupacabra.
So, yeah, all these, zombies are trying to get at Bizarro and, like, hold him down, but obviously it's Bizarro, so...
And this art style, like, the lines and everything, if you've ever read Calvin and Hobbes...
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Another thing, it also reminds me of, Kids WB animation style.
Yeah, that too. Like, Animaniacs and stuff like that. Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very, like, upbeat. But, so what Colin starts doing is jumping on people and biting into their brains to remove the hypnotism.
Because he eats people's brains.
But he doesn't eat them all the way, just enough to, you know, wake them up.
I really like Jimmy signing this agreement saying, "Yes, financing, 22% seems fair."
yeah, this is the evil plan of this evil fucking car dealer, is I'm going to get maybe 30 to 40 people to buy used cars at 22% interest. Like, yeah, that's a lot, but when you have Lex Luthor stealing, like, $1 trillion...
It's ridiculous. But yeah, he...
The real villain.
Yeah. He gets Jimmy knocked out of the mind control, and Bizarro smashes through all the people.
And starts just destroying the fucking cars to destroy the guy's inventory.
Yeah, we see him use his cold vision to freeze a car in midair, smashes one. He, like, takes a steel beam and deflects one of his beams he's shooting at him.
Back at King Tut.
Mm-hmm.
And, Meanwhile, Colin's going around and biting people's brains to wake him up.
He bites his daughter addressing the King Tut stuff first, after Jimmy. Yeah, it shows a...
Bizarro swinging, like, this... it's a car bumper at King Tut, and King Tut has this weird energy force field, so it doesn't break through. So Bizarro, using his just insane intelligence, realizes he has hypnotic powers somehow.
I really like the fact that he's like, there's no way you'll be able to defeat me, and Bizarro's like, I'm going to lose so badly. And King Tut's like, quit agreeing with me.
Right. Yeah, the whole fight, King Tut's like, you're like, this is going to hurt. And Bizarro's like, ow, that hurt.
But yeah, it shows him, like, hypnotizing him through the force field.
And making him a chicken.
Yeah, he's like, when Bizarro snaps fingers, you am chicken. And he just starts balking and drops the staff. And Jimmy takes the staff and snaps it in half. Everyone's back to normal.
And no one had to buy a used car.
Thank God.
All in all, a win.
Smallville has been saved.
From the greatest menace it has ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And it shows Bizarro and Jimmy getting medals, and his daughter's taking over the used car lot as the dude's, like, balking like a chicken in the back, and she gives Jimmy the hot rod they said was a dream car, so they're all set up for their road trip.
Real quick, the Bizarro number one medal is a reference. A lot of Bizarro comics have him with a medal that just says Bizarro number one.
Nice.
A lot of times when he fights Superman, it's like, I am better than you, Superman, because I'm Bizarro, Bizarro number one.
Okay.
But yeah, I really like the fact that Jimmy's like, really wants this hot rod he's so excited about, and then Bizarro's like, but look at these medals. And he's like, you got weird priorities, bro.
But, I mean, Bizarro can fly. Why the fuck does he need a car?
True. But Jimmy can't fly.
And if Bizarro is as fast as Superman, Bizarro can fly at the speed of light.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Backwards.
It's just and like, what if you gave, like, a child Superman's powers? And it's just great.
It's like the best quote ever, like, what if you gave a monkey a gun?
Right. But yeah, we see a cut to King Tut's daughter. She's put the staff back together. And she's like, she made my dad into a chicken, so I'm gonna destroy Bizarro.
And get revenge. And her dad's still, like, balking in the background.
And since it's a kid's comic, she can't say kill Bizarro, so she says destroy.
Yeah, every issue is rated E for everyone.
Which is awesome, because, like, if you have kids, like, 5, 6, 7, give them a Bizarro comic. Be like, hey, this is cool, you gotta think about it, because he says everything backwards.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, they'll speak backwards like Bizarro, too.
That would be terrifying.
I used to follow an Injustice streamer who would play Bizarro and talk backwards.
Nice.
It was pretty funny.
It finally cuts to them driving in the hot rod, and he's like, where to, Canada? And he's like, first I gotta grab something for my worstest friend. Jimmy's like calling him his best friend. And they go to Lexmart, which I like this because in these comics, everything's owned by Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every restaurant, everything.
Like Starbucks is Lexbucks. And there's Lexmart where they're at now. So they're just getting tons of junk food and stuff.
They're loading up for the road trip. And so then we get part 5, which obviously is part 2. And real quick, Bizarro is wearing a crown. It makes him look like Jughead from the Archie comics.
Yeah.
And Jimmy has on like a baby strap that people use to carry their babies in front of them. And it has Colin the Chupacabra.
Which is adorable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great.
And Colin's got these little circle sunglasses on.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great just panel. Mm-hmm. So now they're in Gotham City very briefly. They're getting bat dogs.
I like this. It has a chocolate Mr. Freeze as a drink.
Oh yeah. So real quick, we'll just read verbatim. Bizarro is placing the order. They have Ace the Bat Dogs, with Robin Relish. They have Bratmobiles. Crispy Fire Fries, which is a reference to Firefly. Chicken Night Wings. Killer Croc Size Cola. And the...
He says you hate drink.
Yeah, you hate drink, which is... And that's the Chocolate Mr. Freeze, which is the ice cream.
Jimmy's saying, I'm just saying, Gotham's dangerous. You never know who you might run into and just randomly Riddler comes up.
The Riddler's just there, and Jimmy's like, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. And Riddler's like, always glad to meet a fan. and then just leaves. And that, like, that's it. That's the whole interaction. Like, hey, Riddler was here for 5 seconds. And then just, like, as a small joke, you see a batarang bouncing off Bizarro's head. And the next panel, like, shows Batman, like, in this super serious, detailed, non-cartoony, realistic thing, throwing batarangs at Bizarro.
And it's not doing shit. And then just bouncing off his head.
And then they're just in Central City all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's where it flashes. Flash, and it has this, like, wacky-looking Flash statue, like, running.
And Bizarro and Jimmy are lost, and Bizarro sticks his arm out, and it fucking punches Flash while Flash is just running down the street.
Yeah, he's like, where's the Flash Museum? And he's like, me think this way. And he's like, do you actually mean that way, or do you mean the opposite way?
Yeah, Jimmy's even getting confused. But, like, you see, you just see the sound effect. It says, like,
whammo.
Yeah, and then just Flash raising his head, did Superman just punch me?
And it just shows Flash. Yeah, it shows actually what happened. Flash was just running, and Bizarro had his arm stuck out and just basically, like, clotheslined Flash as he was running.
And Bizarro probably didn't notice.
So, yeah, we see a bunch of different, like, cuts to them getting different places. So we got Starling City, and we actually get, like, an Arrow, like, the TV show reference, because Bizarro has this You Have Failed This City shirt on. Is that a thing in the comics, or is it just in the show?
Some comics. But then they also have them in Chicago. They have the back seat with Colin sleeping. They have Iron Heights, the penitentiary, and you can see people dressed up like Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm. We see Swamp Thing somewhere in Louisiana. And then we see question mark, question mark, question mark, and they're with Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, they're in Gorilla City. For some, I don't know how they got to Gorilla City, because that's in Africa, but...
It's ridiculous. Probably Bizarro flew them there on accident or
more
something.
More than likely.
But yeah, they're back on the road now.
And they notice they're being followed by the same vehicle from before, and Jimmy's like, we gotta get away from these guys. Do you have a plan, Bizarro? And Bizarro's like, I got this. And so what Bizarro does is he breathes fire out the back, and the van...
Onto their windshield.
Yeah, so they slow down, and they can't see him on the road, so they think they've turned around. So the car turns around to chase after him, and you see that Bizarro is holding them up in the air.
Basically out of sight of them. And they see a sign, we need somewhere to lay low for a while, and they see a sign, Old Gold Gulch, an old western ghost town. And he's like, I got just the place. And I never would have thought we would have seen a Jonah Hex crossover in this, but we did.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's really good.
And you see Bizarro, and like Jimmy's in like your typical cowboy dress up, but Bizarro's wearing a poncho with a backwards S on it.
Like a huge duster. Everything Bizarro wears, he puts the Bizarro logo on it.
But and yeah, we get to meet Jonah Hex's, is it great-great-great-granddaughter or something
like that, Chastity Hex.
Yeah. And she's here hunting,
Jeremiah Blackhurst.
Yeah, some dude.
She's like, as long as you're not Jeremiah Blackhurst, I don't have a problem with you. And Bizarro's like, horrible to meet you.
And they're friends, too. Like, they hit it off great. It's pretty cool.
I don't get this, because she keeps calling him Chief throughout this, and Jimmy's like, don't call him Chief.
Because it probably, backwards interprets it as an insult, or if it boosts his ego.
Yeah.
Either it's could be bad. It's a lose-lose, really.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy wants Bizarro to be, like, mellow, which Bizarro just in his nature isn't. But an insult or an ego boost either way would buff it. But this issue ends because when night falls, it turns out this ghost town is a literal ghost town. There's ghosts.
Full of ghosts in this old western town. And I really like this touch, because at the end of every issue, it says last issue, and it's like, last issue, gunfights, ghosts, parrots, like, as in this happened the issue before that you read, but it's the issue after, it's the reverse.
It's backwards, so instead of saying next issue, it says last issue just because Bizarro.
I just, like I said, just like the small touches of stuff that you get in these is awesome. But, yeah, we get, the next issue is Bizarro versus El Papagayo. It's the good, the bad, and the stupid.
Yeah.
And is that, like, a squirt gun he has?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're...
And Bizarro has a pop gun.
Yeah, so, like, Jimmy has a squirt gun as his Old West gun, and then Bizarro has this, like, bolt action rifle, but it's just a pop gun. And then we got Colin on his back with a slingshot.
Yeah, no, they're going to fuck some people up.
Yeah.
I love the first fight of this issue.
So, yeah, we got this old-timey photographer taking an Old West picture for him. And he has, like, straight up, like, the platform full of phosphorus for the flash. And they take the picture, and he's like, can I get a copy of that? He's like, sure thing, with the Pony Express, I can get it to you in just 3 or 4 months. And he's like, yeah, no thanks.
Yep, and so they leave the photo booth. And they see the ghost, and it's like, well, shit, that's a bunch of ghosts.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, Chastity's still like, yeah, I'm looking for Jeremiah Blackhurst still. He's somewhere around here. And they see the Brass Bugle, which is
a saloon.
Yeah, it's a saloon. So they walk into the... They're walking to the saloon, and I really like this part. With
it's the first fight, and it's the best fight.
Yeah. It's this ghost man and this ghost woman in there. I think they're husband and wife. And the ghost man's like... Or the ghost woman's like, Claude, a ghost. And he's like, get behind me, Gertie. I'll wave away this spurious spirit. And he like squares up against him. With
the
like,
old-timey, like their arms are rings. And he's like, his fists are pointed towards him. And yeah. He's like moving them. And it like, because he thinks Bizarro's a ghost because of Bizarro's like pale white skin.
And Bizarro's like, I'm a ghost. Me thought you am ghosts. And he says, take this, and just starts punching him, but he goes through him because he's a ghost.
But he's convinced he just beat the shit out of him, and his girlfriend's like, aw, you're the best.
He's Bizarro's like, hello, punchy, hitty phantasms.
And what's cool, yeah, they have this sweet moment.
But yeah, it shows Bizarro and Jimmy and Chastity walking in, or I don't think Chastity's with them at this moment.
Yeah, they're splitting up to look for this guy, and they go into the saloon.
I really like this. Bizarro goes in with Jimmy behind him, and everyone, like, gets quiet and looks at him, just like in all the movies. And Bizarro's just like, me and Bizarro?
And then they just go back to business.
Yeah, Jimmy makes up his Western name. It's name's Deadeye Olsen and my partner, the Bizarro Kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, me hate that nickname. Like, he likes it. But yeah, of course, they go up to the bar and,
see the bugle.
Yeah, they see this cavalry bugle in the back, and it's like they order drinks, and
Bartender slides the glasses, and they just go through their hands because they're phantasm glasses.
Yeah, and they smash, and he's like, yeah, I should have figured that.
Yeah. But Bizarro sticks his arm out, and instead of going through someone's head, it actually hits him, and once you know, they found Blackhurst, dude.
Yeah, Jeremiah Blackhurst, but this dude runs into the saloon and says he's back, and they don't know what's going on, but everyone's running out of the saloon, like all the ghosts, and Jeremiah Blackhurst is running with the ghosts too, but they like lose them through the ghosts.
Yeah, because Jimmy thinks they're talking about Jeremiah Blackhurst, and he's like, no, he's right here, we got him, but that's not who they're talking about.
El Papagayo, basically this ghost dude with a parrot.
He's a pirate. He's a pirate ghost cowboy that's Spanish.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, with a parrot.
Of course.
And him and Bizarro are about to have this intense fight because Bizarro wants to stand up for justice, and this guy's like, I'm robbing all of you.
And this is my favorite fight in the entire run. So, like, he starts shooting these ghosts since he's a ghost. He kills Claude, the dude that was fighting Bizarro earlier. He says, gracious, I fear I have been shot.
But, I mean, they're ghosts, so nothing really comes of it.
But, yeah, Jimmy yells go, and huge whoosh from Bizarro flying at him.
But the whoosh is backwards. Like, yeah. The lettering is backwards.
It's just, they got a lot of detail in this. But this is my favorite fight, because it's so uneventful. The ghost dude just starts unloading ghost bullets at him, and it's just going through him. And then Bizarro uses his cold vision on him, and it just goes right through him.
And fucking nothing happens, and both are like, you're pretty strong.
You're pretty good. We're evenly matched. And it's like, it is Papagayo. I will carve it on your tombstone for you. And they're basically like, he shoots his pop gun at him, and nothing happens because it's just...
Bizarro shoots, yeah.
And he's just unloading his ghost bullets on him. And Bizarro says, "Me can't keep this up all night." I really like, where was it? He says, this is the best. Once they're squared off, he basically says, "You should stay away from Deadeye Olsen and the Bizarro Kid. Now we am half show up." And then he calls him El Papalmoose.
Yeah.
Instead of El Papagayo, he calls him Papalmoose.
That's why he's like, it's El Papagayo, not El Papalmoose.
But, yeah, he's like, "It seems we're evenly matched, but there's one thing I haven't tried yet." And then he possesses Bizarro, and his parrot possesses Colin.
Yeah, and so when he shoots into Bizarro, you see an inner working of Bizarro's anatomy. His fists are brains.
And his heart is, like, his whole chest.
Yep. And he has, like, machines for arms, and his legs are, like, solid stone, right?
They're, like, fossils underground.
Yeah, but then he has, like, this toddler that's in his stomach area, and that's supposed to be his, what do they call it?
His, like, his life force, or his essence, pretty much.
Yeah. So, and his head is empty, of course.
Oh, yeah. So, Jimmy's like, "What are you doing, buddy? What's going on?" And out of nowhere, he's just like, "I'm afraid that your faith in your backwards champion is sadly misplaced. I am El Papagayo, the Outlaw King, and I will crush you."
And Bizarro's talking normal now, too, so you know something's fucked up because Papagayo possessed him.
And he swings at Jimmy, and Chastity knocks him out of the way. Obviously, if that would have hit him, he would have just pretty much exploded. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. And so then, like, Jimmy and Chastity are like, "Oh, shit. What do we got to do?" And Chastity's like, "I'm going to shoot him. It's the only option." Jimmy's like, "Don't do it.
Don't waste your bullets." And it just shows a Bizarro with the bullets in his mouth, like, between his teeth. And he's like, "Bulletproof. This is good to know."
Yep.
And it shows Colin, like, throughout all this, like, repeating what he's saying, basically, because he's the parrots possessing him. And it shows Bizarro just shooting tons of freeze rays out of his eyes because he has no control over, like,
he doesn't know how to be precise with it, so they're able to get away.
And he's like, "Oh, I had to call Superman. Where's my signal watch?" And he's like, "Oh, shit.
Riddler got it.
Riddler lifted off my wrist in Gotham."
And this is one of the funniest panels, but real quick, Jimmy Olsen has a watch, if you didn't know, that if he presses it, Superman can hear the signal from anywhere, literally anywhere. There's a comic where Superman was on the other side of the universe and came back in, like, a minute.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But so Jimmy's like, "Oh, shit, he stole my watch," and it shows Riddler sitting in his room. He's like, "Whoa, what does this do?" And presses it.
And it just shows Superman behind him in the next panel.
And the Riddler's like, "Fuck."
He says, "Oh, no." He's like, "This is the worst watch ever.
Like, out of all the things that could do right now, this is the worst outcome."
Checking out my stolen shit from the week.
So anyway, you see Papagayo is getting used to the power of Bizarro. He's like breathing fire into the air, and he's kind of talking smack about how he's going to hurt Jimmy and do this and do that and take over the world. So Jimmy gets the bright idea. And what's cool, instead of a light bulb, he gets like a candle and a wick because it's cowboys.
Yeah, the ghost dude that got shot's like, "You could blow the bugle to signal the cavalry." And he gets the candle light above his head.
Yep. So he runs into the saloon, gets the bugle, and he plays it. And wouldn't you know, Jonah Hex himself and all of his supporting cast are there to save the day.
See, I've never read Jonah Hex. It was a comic, right?
Yeah, it was a comic. It was pretty popular.
It was like a DC comic.
Yeah.
I saw the movie and it was okay, but
The movie is pretty shit. It's a pretty cool Western comic. Very rarely does it interact with anything new or recent. But it's just a really, it's DC's version of a Western. And I mean, like, a lot of comic books in general originally started with different ideas.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jonah Hex's ghost shows up. He's, like, pretty sure he's just a bounty hunter that hunts, like, supernatural beings, right?
Well, in the original, Jonah Hex was just a bounty hunter. As long as you paid him, he'd hunt anyone and everyone.
But, yeah, his face is all jacked up because he made, like, a deal with the devil, right?
Yep. Something like that. I'm not 100% familiar. The only other Jonah Hex I've read is Jonah Hex Cross Yosemite Sam, and that's for a different day.
Oh, God.
That's arguably one of the best comics I've ever read.
But yeah, we see Papagayo and Bizarro like, oh, it's Jonah Hex. Well, time to get out and attack. And the instant he does, Jonah Hex just like hogties him pretty much.
Yeah, they go inside the brain. They go inside the, like the whole cavalry goes inside of Bizarro. And so they fight inside of Bizarro to pull out Papagayo. And so Bizarro's back to normal, and he's like, that was weird.
Yeah, he's like, feels like someone stole my brain for a test drive.
And so one of Papagayo's minions was into the Black Hearst dude, whatever.
Yeah, so yeah.
So Chastity gets her bounty.
Yeah, Chastity butts her gun in his face, and it knocks the dude out. And it there's this really cool panel where it shows Jonah pointing his gun at the ghost that possessed Jeremiah, and her pointing her gun at Jeremiah, and they both at the same time say, don't move if you know it's good for you. And then both of them at the same time say, nice hat to each other.
Yep, because that's the his great-great-granddaughter.
Yep. So that's, I thought that was pretty cool.
But so Chastity is willing to pay them for helping them, so she agrees to tag along.
Yeah. So yeah, we got a new member of the cast, our fourth member. And it shows them riding off into the sunset with a sign for Zatanna. And that is the end of that issue. I somehow knew that Zatanna was going to be in this because he has to put the wackiest things in here because it's Bizarro pretty much.
So Zatanna, once again, if you remember from Identity Crisis, she's one of the strongest magic users in all of DC. But she
apparently
also
the strongest is Bizarro.
Right. Well, she uses her magic for stage stuff to make money, but then she's a superhero as a side gig. But, so we open up and we get a recount, and this time it's on tarot cards. And it's tarot cards being read by not Zatanna, but some.
It's just this fortune teller.
Yep, and to Bizarro and Jimmy, and Bizarro thinks it's real, and Jimmy's like, it's a lot of bupkis.
And he's like, but Bizarro hates magic, as in he loves it. And he throws out this coin, and he's like, watch magic, and he crushes it into dust. And he's like, see? And Jimmy's like, I mean, if you want to call that magic. I really like this, though, because it's in Vegas, and it shows these, like, weird hipster people posing for a selfie at Bizarro.
And it shows them hanging outside the bail bonds waiting for Miss Hex in order to get part of the bounty, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to. Jimmy gets a call about a book, his book, but he plays it off as nothing to Bizarro. They all meet up. She has the money, and Bizarro's like, oh, he sees a giant poster for Zatanna's show, and he's like, we've got to see this.
And I like it. It says, do you believe in Sigum, which is magic backwards.
Yep.
So we're at America Part 3, Issue 4. And they're all sitting and watching Zatanna's show. And Bizarro's asking him if he hears the magic words that she's saying. And he's like, it's all gibberish. But she asked, for my next trick, I need a volunteer. And, like, the reaction of Bizarro.
He's
the
up reaction there instantly. Time,
he's just like, me, it am me. And he's in on the stage. She's like, oh, welcome, sir. That aren't you Bizarro?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like, me and Bizarro, me your smallest fan.
Like, he's so sweet. He doesn't, he's just like a kid with Superman powers.
Yep, he's just a toddler. So, yeah, she starts teleporting through all these crazy things. She puts him in this box.
Well, she puts him in a box just to do, like, a basic stage show. But he starts reciting the magic words she said. And when he does it, first thing it drops him to is, where is it? The
Rock of Eternity?
Yeah, which is where
Shazam?
Shazam gets his power and everything like that, and the wizard that gives Shazam his power is there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about all these references, because he goes through, like, so many places.
Yep.
So, yeah, she saws the box in half, and he's not there.
And the crowd goes wild, and they think it's really cool. Meanwhile, Bizarro's doing, like, shit. So, a few of these are alternate dimensions that never interact with DC, but they're their own storylines. So that, like, they go
Gem World.
Gem World's one. The House of Mystery is like DC's sacred magic place on Earth. Like, it's think like Doctor Strange's house, but no one actually lives there. It's just a source of magic, and magic users convene there and stuff like that.
Gotcha. And then it shows Hades, the third circle dinner.
And what's cool there is they have a lot of really neat characters. They have Trigon there, and he's wearing dad outfit because he's Raven's dad. And
oh, I didn't realize that. That's Trigon. Okay.
Yep.
And what's this dude's name?
Endragon or something like that. He says that at the very end, I'm pretty sure.
Etragon.
Yeah. He's this demon that, and he speaks I've funny seen too. Him he speaks in rhymes. He's kind of like Ghost Rider, but where ghost like the person uses the flames from Mephisto, and them and Ghost Rider are the same person. Etragon is a demon that people can make a bond with him to summon him, but he eats at their life force and he'll fight for them.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of weird.
I've seen him before.
He's usually a hero, but he's like an anti-hero because he's a demon. Then they have the Council of Trees.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
It just shows him flipping through all of these different places like randomly, and then finally he's on Skartaris?
Yeah, that's another, like, one of those fantasy... It's an other world, essentially. Where DC has a lot of... And especially older... It's not as popular now, but DC for the longest time had a lot of non-superhero comic books that were their own universes, had nothing to do with comics.
It just shows Bizarro flipping through all these, like, obscure areas, and then finally... Jimmy goes into Zatanna's changing room and he's like, hey, that was cool, but like, can you bring Bizarro back now? And she's like, wait, what? Because she thought that he like went through a trap door or something.
And went through the trick.
Yeah, but she's like searching for him.
And she starts using magic to find him, and he shows up in this tux, and like, he's like, oh.
Jimmy can do magic. And Jimmy's like, oh God. And he says this incantation, and Zatanna's like, you gotta be shitting me right now.
And she, like, has to use her magic to stop it. She's like, that's a pretty fucking strong magic.
Yeah, he just summons this, like, horde of, like, deadly bees after Jimmy. And she, like, puts them all in her hat. And then Zatanna's like, yeah, you're meddling with stuff you don't know about. And Bizarro's like, oh, yeah, says this incantation. And Zatanna's like, what, my magic's gone.
Yeah, so Bizarro, you know, took all of Zatanna's magic, and Zatanna is like the second or third strongest human magic user.
It's ridiculous.
And then the T-Rex starts to follow Bizarro, and Bizarro is able to just close it back up instantly, and she's like, that's some crazy magic. And what proceeds is essentially a series of panels of Jimmy saying, Bizarro, give the magic back to Zatanna. Zatanna saying, please, he's too powerful. And Bizarro says no. And when Jimmy touches Bizarro, Jimmy becomes Bizarro Jimmy, and Bizarro becomes a regular guy.
Basically Clark Kent.
Yep. And once he becomes regular, like, Jimmy gets Bizarro's powers, including the magic as well, and just takes off and starts flying. But
I really like this. He rips his shirt like Superman does, and it's a backwards J.
Yep.
But he's like, flies off. He's like, I'm going to go take pictures for my book now.
And so this is how Bizarro finds out about Jimmy's book and his not-so-honest intentions of being a good friend.
But yeah, he's like talking backwards, and he shows Bizarro talking to Colin. He's like, I don't talk like that, do I?
I'm not that annoying.
But yeah, it shows Jimmy like snapping pictures of everything, and
he's picking pieces up around the town in Las Vegas.
Literally, like, he picks up the Titanic at the Titanic Museum.
Yeah.
And him and Zatanna are trying to figure out, like, what can we do to stop Jimzaro? And Zatanna's like, I don't know, but he's picking up all these huge things around the town, and if the ley lines around of magic around this town, if he, like, arranges things in the right way, then he could tear the city apart.
Yeah, he's taking it apart to take pictures to get... He needs it to be just perfect, so he's moving this building here and that building there.
Shows him, like, dumped out the Hollywood Wax Museum, and it just shows, like, Superman and Batman statues and shit, like, flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a weird thing. We got Lorna Bismucci, MMA fighter. She just randomly shows up and saves Bizarro from this flying car. Because, you know, Bizarro is a human now, basically.
I'm gonna see if she's an actual.
Yeah, MMA you should. Fighter. I wanted to look.
I wonder if that's a cameo or well, the way she looks, I don't know if it might be another Archie reference.
It might be.
Bismucci? How do you spell it?
Bismucci. But yeah, she's like, I'm an MMA fighter, and he's like, I'm Bizzotto. She's like, Bizzotto? That Italian? He's like, kinda, yeah.
Oh no, she's literally just made for this.
Nice. So random MMA fighter girl, but yep. Jimmy's flying through the sky and he yells, "Yoo-hoo, goodbye, worstest friend." And this is really important.
Real quick, the Wikipedia page for has her powers as unarmed.
Nice. So that's a nice touch. So it shows Jimmy yelling at him like, "Bye, worstest friend," and she's like. Basically, like, hitting on Bizarro in his human form. And she's like, you know that guy stirring up all the trouble? And Bizarro's like, that guy? No, I don't. Kind of, like, playing it off, like, Jimmy I don't want to be embarrassed.
Like, now he's getting a taste of Jimmy, and it's a really cool Freaky Friday situation.
Right. So they're all running, like, trying to figure out what to do. And he's like, she's like, well, once you sort all this out, then if you survive, we'll have dinner. Trying to, like... Get with Bizarro.
Yeah, because she thinks Bizarro is just some regular dude right now. And so Bizarro starts begging and pleading to get Jimmy's attention. And what ends up happening is Boston Brand has to possess Jimmy, which Boston Brand's this ghost, and he just randomly possesses people for justice. He was a guy that was murdered. It's a role that's passed on. It's a magical role.
Okay.
And he was a cop that was murdered, and he possesses people to get them to do the right thing.
Okay.
And so he shows up, and I think he complains about something.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna get out of this dude to someone who fits me better. Because pretty much he's seeing, like, the Bizarro mentality, and it's just all fucked up. He's like, yeah, this is weird. I'm getting out of him. But finally, he manages to stop Jimmy and Jimzaro, and he's like, so this is how you feel, everyone not understanding me? And Bizarro says, I'm sorry too, Jimmy. I pretended not to know you just to fit in. This is how you feel all the time? And it just shows them, like, kind of understanding each other more. And basically, we cut back to Zatanna having all her powers back, and she flips him back.
Freaky Friday, yay!
So, yeah, Bizarro grabs him in a hug and flies him up in the air, and he's like, everything's back to normal. And out of nowhere...
FBI agents.
Yeah, so we have... CIA. It's Argus, actually.
Argus.
So this is really funny, because there's these two Argus agents that have been following them since the beginning. It's the car that was following them. And they look exactly like... Dana and Scully, or Dana Scully and Fox Mulder from The X-Files. So, for all intents and purposes, I'm just going to call them Dana Scully and Fox Mulder in this, because they basically are.
And that's the role they serve.
Yeah, they have these two huge alien guns, pretty much, and they're like, you've been following us, why? And they're like, well, you're an Omega-level threat that we've been tracking, but besides that, we need your help to break into Area 51.
And steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, the Alien Declaration of Independence. So, yeah, that's where we go into Issue 5 at. They're pretty much like, you're going to break into Area 51 for us.
Now, Issue 5 does another one of those, like, flashback, flash-forward things, because, like, it's them... It opens up with them being busted. They fail to break into Area 51. They're being arrested.
Bizarro has power dampening collar on, so he doesn't have his powers.
Yep. And Chastity somehow got back with him.
Yeah, Chastity's with him. Shows them in this alien prison, and all these alien prisoners are like in jail in Area 51. And he basically gets on the communicator and is like, hey, Fox, we failed our mission. He's like, damn it, you're supposed to be at the rendezvous in 20. He's like, well, that's not going to happen.
So then it flashes back to when they first approach them and them saying, we need you to break in because they're holding these aliens hostage against their will.
Yeah, and plus they have all their weapons that they've taken to. It's like the government, basically.
Yeah, like this military base is holding all the alien technology and it's a threat, a danger.
Yeah, I really like this too because he's like, so you're saying a government shadow organization is trying to take down another government shadow organization?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, pretty much, honestly. And he's like, well, why would we help you? And he's like, well, Vegas, all expenses paid, and $50,000 for you and your team.
And Jimmy, being a man of money, could not refuse that.
No, so it just shows him going straight to Vegas. They go to the Lex Luthor Hotel and Casino, of course, because Lex Luthor owns everything. It shows them, like, checking into the hotel. They start gambling. And for somehow Bizarro is just like destroying blackjack. He has this mountain of chips and Jimmy's like, are you, and that shows him like whispering, counting cards. And Bizarro of course is, nope, one card, two card, three card.
Yeah.
And I really like this Batman reference because this dude comes up that works at the hotel and says, I'm Alfredo, your private host here at the Lex Luthor.
Yep, yep.
He's basically like Italian Alfred.
Yes.
He's like, oh, let's go to your room. And pretty much taking care of him. And Bizarro wins like a small fortune at the tables. And he's like, how much of your cash did you spend on these suits? And it shows them all in like really fancy like...
And they have a golden... He has a golden...
golden Bizarro necklace.
And that's... So usually that Bizarro number one signal is in gold.
Yeah, it's like a gold-plated Bizarro insignia. He's like, how much of that cash did you spend on these? He says, none of it.
So in Bizarro, that's all of it.
Yeah, he's like, you threw all that money on these suits?
So, yeah, they're showing off these sweet suits. And honestly, when they're walking down the stairs, at first I thought it was something else and I just didn't understand.
But yeah, it's an escalator.
Yeah.
It just shows Colin sitting at the top, just sitting there writing it down.
And they're in prison, and even on Bizarro's prison uniform, he has the backward S.
He's got to get it on there. I don't even know how he gets it on there. Probably heat breath.
No, his powers are dampened.
Oh, that's true. Who knows? He's probably like...
Maybe he smuggled a Sharpie.
I guess. But yeah, they're basically like going up to this... She's like... Chastity's like, let's go to the biggest dude and get him to show us the boss of the place. Like, intimidate him.
Yep.
And it's Tallywag?
Tallywag. And Tallywag is a parody. He is the cousin of... I just said his name earlier. He's the Green Lantern that says Pooja all the time. I just said his name earlier, too.
But yeah, he's pretty much like squaring up against Bizarro, and Colin starts hissing at him. And he's like... Well, I don't want you to eat my brain, so I'll show you the Big Monk. Which, apparently, that's the boss of the alien prison, is Big Monk. And Jimmy's like... So, Colin's the scariest thing in the universe, I guess.
Also, he's Kilowog's cousin.
Yeah.
This guy's... Tallywag is Kilowog's cousin, so that's the joke. So, now we're back at the bar, and Jimmy and Bizarro are drinking, and Colin is in a suit, and it's adorable.
Yeah, adorable Chupacabra suit. So yeah, Jimmy goes to basically go to the bathroom, and Bizarro's like picks up his phone. He's like, watch my impression of Jimmy, and he answers his phone, and it's Dalton, Jimmy's editor for his book, and he's like, let's get this book published so you can stop pretending to like that chalky Frankenstein and come home.
And that hurts Bizarro's feelings.
It pisses him off. So he crushes his phone. And it cuts back to the prison.
And Bizarro's just like a hard ass in prison. He's being a total dick. And he's being a dick to Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's like, are you mad at me? What's going on? And he's like, me no handle this from now on.
And on a side note, you see these three aliens from the side recognize Colin.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's Chick. Is his name. He's like, oh, it's Chick, we found him, and it's the same three aliens that gave King Tut his staff.
So then we meet Monk in...
Big Monk, yeah.
And he's a squirrel alien
thing. He's a tiny chipmunk.
But, that's why he's called Big Monk. He might have been a Green Lantern, because there's a Green Lantern that's a squirrel, so there might be a Green Lantern that's a chipmunk.
Okay.
So, he might be a reference.
So yeah, Bizarre is kind of like... it's all staged as a prison break.
Yeah, because it's a fight. He picks a fight...
With Bizarro.
With Big Monk. Bizarro and Big Monk pick a fight. Big Monk attacks Bizarro, but what he's actually doing is breaking the power dampener. So when the guards come in, Bizarro has his powers back.
Yeah, he basically, like, it's just Big Monk walking away and spitting out this switch. And Bizarro just, like, yanks his collar off. And he's like, wait, shouldn't this guy have a drain collar on? And Bizarro's like, nope. And it shows, Big Monk lets everyone in that he was talking to the two agents that they were in there for, like, oh, this is the plan, I'm going to ruin his collar. And it just shows Bizarro, like, throwing the guards around like they're nothing, like, beating 10 to 20 of them. Yeah. And they're like, well, this way, let's go. And I like this, Jimmy yells, tanks! And Bizarro turns around, you am not welcome. He's like, no, tanks! And Bizarro's like, awesome, as he's staring down the barrel of this huge tank. And he gets shot with the tank through the wall into this huge room full of alien weapons from all the, basically, inmates. And it shows, basically, Jimmy, Chastity, and Bizarro running into the room getting all these weapons. And
Bizarro gets the Action Comics Superman suit,
which is great.
Jimmy has Hawkman's wings and mace, and then I'm pretty sure Chastity is using
is that the Rocketeer?
Yeah, she's using the Rocketeer's guns and jetpack.
So yeah, it shows Jimmy, Bizarro, and Chastity against all these people, and the tank's still firing at him, and Bizarro picks up this Kryptonian missile, and he's like, hello, rolling armored vehicle, and Jimmy corrects him, yelling, tanks, and he's like, you am still not welcome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it shows this general guy coming in and saying, enough, and...
this general looks like he needs pictures of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, everyone needs pictures of Spider-Man if you look like that, but they're pretty much basically saying, like, yeah, you're going to free all these aliens right now. You're going to give them all their shit back. And he's like, well, that's not going to happen. And turns out, Jimmy's been recording with the sunglasses, and comes Lois Lane. And the dude's her dad. And she's like, oh, well, you're going to do this and let them go, Dad, because I'm just going to write an article on how you've illegally held all these aliens hostage. And he's like, you wouldn't do that. And she's like, I'd sell out my best friend for a story.
And you see Clark just standing there like, oh, Lois.
And he's carrying Lex Bucks. Like coffee.
Instead of Starbucks, it's Lex Bucks.
Yeah. So, Lois is pretty much like, Dad, let them all go. And he lets them all go, and in comes Agent Scully and Mulder. And they're like, well, where are all the weapons if they're all gone? And it shows in the sky, like, all these, like, spaceships. And
most of them are references, too. You've got an Iron Giant. You have the Legion of Doom.
That definitely looks like Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's the old Legion of Doom headquarters.
Oh, okay.
Is what that is. The blue, like, giant silver one is a reference to Close Encounters of a Third Kind. Let me pick it up real quick. There's an assload of references.
But yeah, he's pretty much like, oh, well, where are the weapons? And he's like, well, they're with the people who own them. And they're all basically flying away in their assorted alien paraphernalia.
Yep.
So, yeah, we
add that
to their list of journeys. They basically freed a prison full of aliens. And what's the dude's name? Tallywag?
Yeah.
Tallywag Chastity is going with him to be a bounty hunter in space.
And
Colin is going with the aliens that have been looking for him, and Bizarro gets real sad. He's like, you am staying too, and it shows both of them kind of crying, and they hug each other.
And then him and Jimmy even get a touching goodbye.
Yeah, Colin's always like hissed at him and stuff and not liked him, but they hug each other. He's like, I'm gonna miss you too, buddy. So yeah, everyone leaves except Jimmy and Bizarro, and they get in this huge fight because Bizarro found out that he thinks he's only been doing all this because he's trying to write this book, and Jimmy's like, well, you think it's been easy on me too, like having to sleep next to you when you snore and like how you do crazy shit everywhere.
And so it's an interesting moment because in this last issue we had them understanding each other, and now they, even though they understand each other, they still can't stand each other.
So yeah.
So it ends with Bizarro destroying Jimmy's car in the middle of the desert and flying off to Metropolis, leaving Jimmy stranded.
Yeah, and I really like at the end it says our epic first issue.
Yes.
Going into the last issue. But yeah, we see the cover of the last issue is awesome. It shows Bizarro on a moose with Colin in hockey garb, a Canadian hockey garb, and then Jimmy's a
Mountie.
Yeah, Mountie, like a Canadian officer. But yeah, it shows like Jimmy wandering through the desert on his phone trying to get a hold of someone to come save him because he's like dying in the desert, and who comes but it's King Tut and his daughter, and they capture him, basically.
Well, and his King Tut is still a chicken, so his daughter's the one that's in control.
But yeah, she's a super villain, though.
Yeah, and it cuts over to Bizarro kind of flying around Metropolis, and he's like, I'm back, and people are like, get the fuck out of here, you're a monster, no one likes you. And there's even, like, spray paint that says, go away, Bizarro. And so Bizarro flies up to the Daily Planet, and he's all sad.
And Superman flies by.
And this is a really... Okay, real quick, the only thing about this whole run that I fucking hate, this is one of the ugliest drawings of Superman I've ever seen.
Just this one, though.
Just this one. The rest of the panels is fine. This one full-page panel...
It's god-awful.
...is awful. Bizarro looks great. Superman looks like trash. And like, I think it's just because this artist doesn't know how to draw realistic characters.
Until, yeah.
Because then he makes Superman cartoony, and cartoony looks, Superman looks great.
Yeah, but he says, oh, we haven't met it. I'm Superman, and Bizarro gasps. He's like, I'm Bizarro. Me am your smallest fan. He's like, that's nice. Nice shorts, because he's still wearing the, like, Action Comics Superman outfit. And he's like, oh, I'm just going on patrol. You want to come with? And he's like, absolutely not. And he flies along with him. And it shows Bizarro flying backwards. And he's like, you can steer all right flying like that? And Bizarro's like, steer? And he knocks into this huge, like, lightning rod on top of this tower. And I really like this. It's like, look up in the sky. It's a bird and another klutzier bird. No, it's a plane. In a weirdly larger plane, whose pilot has a death wish. And it's like, nah, it's Superman and Bizarro. And it shows, like, two of their flying streams, and Bizarro's is just all over the place, and he knocks into the lightning rod, and it's Superman's just super straight, and he just sees Psy coming out of him.
So then Bizarro tries to fix it, and of course when he tries to fix something, he lifts it up, and he lifts it up with too much force, smacks Superman right into a sign. Superman's like, let's just sit and talk.
Because it's Superman, and he's fine.
And so they're sitting, and this is one of those, like, I love Superman moments, because when Superman's just like a humble human being talking to, like...
He's pretty much talking to, like, a toddler that wants to be him.
Yeah, and he's really down to earth and friendly with it.
He's like, I thought Jimmy and you were off to Canada. And he's like, well, we got in this big fight, and I left him in the desert. And he's like, oh, well, that's wrong, but leaving him in the desert was wrong, too.
And Bizarro gets the reinforcement he needs to hear. And while that's going on, Jimmy wakes up, and he's on top of the Space Needle in Seattle, where King Tut's daughter has King Tut and Jimmy, and King Tut's still clucking like a chicken walking around.
She's using the Space Needle to broadcast mind control all over the place against other people in Seattle. And it shows all these hipsters. And I really like this. She's like, hear me, Seattle, your queen is calling. Put down your burnt Lexbucks coffee, your beard softening oils, and your organic, locally sourced veggie plates. Summon the monster for me called Bizarro.
And all the people start counting, chanting Bizarro.
So, yeah, it cuts back to him and Superman. He's pretty much like, well, both of you are in the wrong, and you two are buds, and you need to make up, and...
Superman's like, you know, be the bigger man. You know, always, you'll make mistakes, and they'll make mistakes, but you've got to, you know, own up and do the right thing, and be his friend. And Bizarro's, like, super happy and hugs Superman and loves him for it. And he's like,
He's, like, too tight, way too tight, which is saying something because he's Superman.
Right. But, I mean, Bizarro's as strong as him.
Yeah.
If not stronger.
Because he's got no limiters, pretty much.
Yep. And, Cleopatra, King Tut's daughter, whoever you want to call her, she starts broadcasting in Metropolis how she's going to take over the world. And Superman's like, you've got this, to Bizarro, and Bizarro's like, I'll take care of this.
So Bizarro flies out, and I really like this. He starts flying, and... up and away. Bizarro says down, down, and present.
Yep, and well, what's cool is too is after this experience, Bizarro's flying front facing now instead of just throwing himself backwards.
Which is development.
Yeah, it's a start.
But yeah, he starts flying away, and Superman's like, Seattle's that way.
And so he turns
he's like, me knew that. Mino knew that, and he's like, of course he did.
And meanwhile, we see
We see Colin and his alien bud see the transmission of Cleopatra, and out of nowhere, Colin just starts freaking out, and apparently the reason why he can't talk is because his translator's been lost, but he just starts speaking in alien, and all of them are like, oh, well, it'd be a inconvenience to turn around, but everyone's like listening to his orders immediately, and then finally we find out who Colin is.
And he gives this like deep inspirational speech, I guess, because they're all now like at first they were like really reluctant, and then now they're all saluting him and like, okay, let's get you back.
And one says, why did we ever let him stop being our Green Lantern?
Colin is a damn hero.
Yep, Colin's an ex-Green Lantern, and he's like pointing and leading the way.
An ex-Green Lantern who eats goat brains.
Yep. So they're all chanting Bizarro, and we see Bizarro land on the roof, and finally the final confrontation between the Egyptian car salesman and Bizarro.
And the salesman, he wakes up, Bizarro fixed the hypnosis he does on him, and he wakes up and he's like, oh, Cleopatra, my daughter, you've gone way too far this time, just let it, you know, let it be, let's go home.
And she's like, no, all I wanted to do was be an artisanal chocolatier. Now I'm a freaking supervillain, and it's your fault. She blasts Bizarro.
And her and Bizarro start getting into a fight, but she did something to the staff to where Bizarro can't win, I believe.
Yeah, she altered the staff to where like her force fields can't really be broken, and he can't mind control her. So this is a really cool conclusion to the story, because he's like, what am I going to do? I can't stop you. And, that's the funny thing. He's actually trying to bust through still. And he says, me cannot stop you. And she's like, don't agree with me. And her dad's like, that, I remember that part. So annoying. But yeah, he's like, don't worry, everyone's coming. And Bizarro's like, who am? And Jimmy's like, everyone, your friends. And of course, we get all the friends he's made in his journeys.
You get Tallywag and Chastity. You get Boston Brand and Zatanna. You get Skulder and Molly. And you get Monk. And then last but not least,
they're all pounding on this force field.
And like, it's still not enough. Like this whole team. And then wouldn't you know it, here comes Colin. And since Colin was part of the aliens that designed that, just turns off the staff.
Yep, and everyone's brain control stops. And you see this huge team lineup of all of the people, and he's like, we know, call ourselves the Bizarro League.
And Jimmy's like, nope, we're not doing that, nope.
So we see them lose their powers pretty much, and he's like, are you going to continue being a supervillain? And they're like, no, I'm a salesman and a vegetarian. I really like that. He's like, I'm going to be a salesman and a vegetarian now, because he thought he was a chicken.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, and what's cool is, too, though, is like they get this resolution where the car salesman accepts his daughter and lets his daughter be a chocolate. And he's like, you can make chocolate and we'll sell it at the dealership and it'll help car sales. And they, you know, they sort things out. Skulder and Molly get the staff that she was using as thanks
to get a promotion.
Chastity is basically like, you owe me one and don't feel be afraid to call. I think Zatanna agrees to take them all back, like Chastity and her bounty hunting friends. And Zatanna agrees to take the car salesman back and just like, if you ever want to learn magic, can you know, come talk to me.
And Bizarro, this cute thing, we have the worstest friends.
And this really hit me in the feels. Like, it was just so positive and uplifting. And, like, even though Bizarro's annoying, they don't hate him. They don't think he's a monster. They know it's just he's slow, and that's it. And I think it's a really touching moment.
Yeah, and he actually gives the car salesman, like, a handful of diamonds to, like, pay for the car. And, Colin decides to stay with Bizarro.
Yep, he just shoots a thumbs up and that spaceship takes off. So it's Colin, Bizarro, and Jimmy at it again, best friends. And Jimmy's like, what are we going to do for money?
And he's like, well, we don't have a car anymore. And he's like, oh, I just bought this car. And he's like, well, how did you do that? And it just shows Bizarro putting a piece of coal in his mouth, chewing it, and then spitting out a diamond.
And that's an old 50s Superman power. That's, yeah.
And he's like, why couldn't you do that the entire time? And Bizarro just shrugs, and they both just start, like, laughing hysterically.
And you know, they're back to being worstest friends, and they're talking about splitting the money for the book in
you three see this, ways. Yeah, you see this dream bubble of, like, him, Jimmy, and Colin all in business suits and sunglasses at a signing table for the book, Bizarro America. And we see, like, these various photographs
of them getting closer.
We see him with a moose. We see him, like, camped out in the trees. And we see only 200 miles to the Canadian border. And finally, they get to the Canadian border.
And the second they show up, like, Jimmy's like, hey, play it cool. We'll be cool. And the first thing the Mountie that's guarding the border does is blow a whistle, and you see an assload of Mounties. And they're like, yeah, we were warned. Neither of you are welcome here. Go back.
Well, nope, you cannot come into Canada. But
here's a gift basket.
Here's a gift basket full of Tim Hortons donuts, Molson beers, and moose jerky.
Yep.
Of course, Canada being the nicest country ever, if they do have to kick you out, they'll give you a gift basket.
Yeah, at least they're that kind.
So, yeah, he's like, you gotta be kidding me. And Bizarro's like, well, we're not welcome in America. And they're like, well, beginning of the line, as in end of the line. And
is that where it says the thing about the sequel?
Yeah, it says Metropolis, 3,033 miles, and a whole other mini series later, and it has a footnote.
And the footnote has like an editor's note where it's like, we'll see how the trade sales. Probably not, but we'll see how the trade does.
Spoiler alert! It didn't.
It didn't.
But I don't know why it was great. But yeah, it shows him get back to Metropolis, and there's a huge sign on the thing says, Bizarro, go home. And Jimmy's like, sorry about that. And Bizarro says, why? Bizarro, am no follow directions, and go home to Metropolis. This am home.
And it's this cool ending of them watching the sunset together, all three of them. And
Bizarro's like, Bizarro, am not get job. And Jimmy's like, job? What job? He's like, terrible Mr. Kent, am no get me internship at Daily Planet. Now we avoid each other every day for never. And Jimmy says, all boo-ray. And Bizarro says, Jimmy, am you no crying?
Yep, and then it ends with the phrase, the beginning. So my thoughts, I love the art style, I love the humor, the references. Everything about this, this is my first 5 out of 5. I love this comic. I own this comic physically. I pre-ordered this comic when it was announced. In the first issue, I pre-ordered the other 5. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's not action-heavy, but it's just a really well-written story. It doesn't do anything new. It doesn't reinvent the wheel. But it's just a fun, uplifting story with a lot of cool DC references and funny jokes. And like we've said this whole time, this thing's rated E, so if you want to get kids into comics and you want to do like a funny story and not just an action-y one, and this not is a great violence, one. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I really liked this. I honestly would probably give it a 5 out of 5 too now that I'm done with it. It's just a really good wholesome story. You'll feel good after reading it. there's tons of humor, and there's tons of just really cool stuff. I like how every issue there's a different crazy adventure that they go on, and it all finally at the end leads back into Bizarro made all these friends, even though he has this pre-existing notion, oh, everyone hates me because I'm not Superman. Like, no, not everyone hates you, you're just different.
And I mean, like, the first issue, there was a supervillain, and it was the used car salesman, and then El Papagayo, but after that, there weren't really villains or anything. It's just understanding Bizarro, so if you want to, like...
It's just his crazy antics.
It's a funny book, and then if you want to go a little bit further, if you're, you know, a parent that wants your kid's comic to have a message, it's about understanding, because all these people at first were annoyed with Bizarro, and once they spoke to him and understood him, they, you know, came to love him. And Jimmy especially, because Jimmy's the one that fucking hated the whole experience the whole time, and then realized he was loving it, and he thought... Yeah,
he's like, this guy's actually, like, a beautiful human being that's so pure and innocent.
Human. Yeah. Not human, but...
Well, you know.
Beautiful being.
Beautiful being. He's just pure and innocent, and no matter what crazy shit he does, he's just trying to help and, like, be a good friend to Jimmy.
But, yeah, so all in all, I'd recommend anyone read this. Great read.
It's not hard to read either. That's a good part.
Yep. And it's really, like, other than the one really shitty Superman panel, it's a really easy thing to look at visually and follow visually. And the panels are laid out in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't jump around a lot. But that's it for this week's episode. I don't know if we have next week's episode planned or not. That's Andy's pick. And
I think, honestly, we're probably going to end up doing Frank Miller's Wolverine.
Okay. So you heard it here. We're doing Frank Miller's Wolverine.
Subscribe and give us some feedback, finally.
Yeah, give us feedback if you want. Feel free to comment on our Facebook page.
We'd love to hear from you guys, positive or negative or anything, honestly. Just tell us how we're doing, what we could improve on.
Just let us know we're not shouting into the void.
Yeah.
Anyway, see you guys next week.
Yep, thank you.
No thank yous.
No and thank you.
No thank you. Hooray.
Hooray.